get started. I will call to order the Pacific City Joint Water Sanitary Authority Board of Directors meeting. It is February 2nd, 2021. It is 5 p.m. and we are meeting via Blue Jeans conference call per the state's instructions for COVID. I will call the roll. Cameron Douglas.
Here.
Tom Donahue.
Here.
Ann Price.
Here.
John Carlson.
Here.
For the record, all directors are present. Item number three, the approval of the business meeting minutes from January 5th, 2021. Are there any corrections or comments?
I'm mute there. Hearing none, I'll move that we approve the January 5th, 2021 business meeting minutes.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the business meeting minutes of January 5th, 2021. All in favor, raise your hands and say aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The minutes are unanimously approved. Item four, the accounts payable for January 5th, January 15th, and January 31st of 2021. Are there any questions on the payable? Tom, please go ahead.
On January 5th, there's a payment, yes, a credit line payment to TLC Federal Credit Union. What was that loan for?
For our airport lift station loan payment.
Okay, hold on. Okay, I have just a couple more. On January 15th, there were two payments to credit card service center, and they said laptop. Now, are those the laptops that we bought for the Horn Creek ops? And wasn't that charged last month at past schools?
The Horn Creek was a separate PC purchase. These two laptops, one was for me to communicate remotely. Even though I haven't had to do it yet, it provides me that capability. The other is for automated meter reading, as well as remote capability for someone else if need be. All of those computers were purchased utilizing 100% grant funding.
Big grant. Below that, there's a couple of microphones and cameras. I assume that's for both of those laptops?
One of the two laptops needed that.
But there are two payments.
You're right. Was it split up between accounts, Michelle?
Yeah, I see that now. Yes, it was split up between those one camera.
Yes.
Okay, my last question was on the 31st of January, a Granger payment. Wasn't very much, but it says magnets for the AMR meter project. Where would the magnets go, and what were they for?
It's funny you ask that. I was trying them out about 30 minutes ago. The radios, when connected to the electronic water meters, have to be activated. And you use a 2-pound magnet to activate those meters.
So you use a magnet and you put it on the transmitter or whatever, and then it transmits the data?
It basically wakes it up. And so, yeah, I don't know how it works mechanically, but it wakes up the radio. And that way the radio isn't being drawn down prior to actually installing it in our addresses or at our addresses.
I assume then that after you remove the magnet, it turns off the switch to the radio, correct?
It becomes automatic after that, and then it periodically will pulse. But typically it will pulse when woke up. So we have radio reading drive-by equipment also.
So this is just a one-time use then for the magnets?
Yeah, it's a one-time use. So we bought several of the magnets so that the installers can activate the radios when they're connected.
Okay, that's cool. Mm-hmm. That's all I had. Thank you.
Thanks, Tom. Anybody else?
I had mine earlier. I talked to Rochelle about the paybacks to board members, unwritten checks. After a certain period of time, those don't get paid out, and then we're being audited by those.
Rochelle, you look ready to answer that one.
So if someone doesn't deposit their check and it's sitting in our books for so long, the auditors tend to notice it. And this last year and the year before, they mentioned that maybe we should get those off our books. So Michelle and I decided to reissue them to board members that we knew where they lived and knew how to get a hold of them.
How much money is that? Was that?
It's really only like $100. $20, a couple different checks. It wasn't very much.
Well, wasn't Don, remember, he didn't want his, right?
Right.
And then, of course,
any other questions?
The webcam and so.
Thank you, Cameron.
Oh, I want to, good job, Rochelle, for the laptops, getting some grant money to pay that back. Good job. If you're not, I don't know if you guys are aware of that, was Michelle and Rochelle, you guys got grant money to buy those?
Yep, that's correct.
So, kudos. Thank you.
Looking for an approval of the payables?
I make a motion that we approve the financial report accounts payable for January 5th, January 15th, January 31st, 2021.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that we approve the accounts payable for January 5th, January 15th, and January 30th of 2021. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you. The accounts payable are approved unanimously. Item 4B, fiscal year report. Are there any questions on the report for the authority manager or our office staff? Ann, please go ahead.
I had an observation on there that in spite of the financial turmoil of the pandemic and our granting of or our waiving of shutoffs until the emergency is lifted statewide, that we still have not seen any money moving out of the customer assistance program. And I think the last time we talked about this, Rochelle and Michelle told us that there were some customers that were on a list that would have been shut off had we not forestalled that. And so it made me wonder if people are really thinking about using that program, because the bills don't stop accumulating just because we're not shutting the water and sewer services off. They keep accumulating. So when the emergency is over, if they're in serious arrears and would have been shut off, the CARE program could have been assisting them in keeping that balloon due at the end of this whole process. So I'm just curious from Michelle and Rochelle, if we had any customers inquire about it, if they had difficulty using it, do we not have anybody at a point where that's really necessary to anybody?
Well, for the most part, what I'm seeing is that the people affected are renters. It's renters that haven't been paying, and they don't qualify for CARE.
Because they don't own the service.
No, because they don't own their home, that home. They have to own a home.
Okay, I see where you are. So it would be the owner of the home that they're renting that could apply, but that person might not qualify because of assets and financial picture.
Exactly.
Correct.
But the owner of the home is ultimately obligated for the bill because that's who we bill. We don't bill the renters even though they pay. So this
Correct.
Is an issue between the landlord and the tenant.
Right. And we also did tell them, though, that once the ban, this is all lifted by the governor, that they could make arrangements with us. So, you know, I'm assuming they're waiting for that. And the people that I know, a couple of them personally, haven't had work and probably will never be able to make it up. So they may be leaving PC.
Well, thank you. I knew there was a logical explanation. I just feel like we've got that part of our budget and we've got people that are in need. And so that's a clear statement of why it's not being used. I appreciate that.
John?
Yeah, Michelle, so on those instances, are we notifying the owner of the building as well that the payments aren't being made?
Well, that's a very good question. The bills are supposed to go to the owners, and it does go to their name, but that doesn't prohibit that owner from changing their address to a renter's address. So I am not sure of all of them if they are being notified. The best way we could probably do that would be go to the tax records and find out what their mailing address is there and compare them and maybe send out a notice. But
do we send it? I mean, if they're in arrears, we send them a notice, right?
We send a notice to whatever address is on the bill.
And that's that, but the name of the owner is on the bill?
Correct.
Just thinking, you know, mentally thinking, what happens if a renter skips town owing 12 months worth of
that has happened.
Bills, and then the owner is on the hook for it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
They haven't skipped out with 12 months, but I've seen them skip out with over 3 when they went to lock off and the owner didn't know it.
Yeah.
And they had to pay it to get a new renter in.
And I think the owner's choice to change that address to be
the owner has the choice of including the water and sewer bill in their rent.
An owner that is...
Right.
Yeah, I have a renter and I include it in the rent for that purpose.
There's a limit to how intrusive we can be in a property owner's handling of their accounts.
I don't disagree. I'm just anticipating that day when that happens, you know. Okay, thank you.
Carolyn?
Yes, Cameron.
So, am I presuming that all owners are aware or they don't know? I mean, is this like a app that owners are aware of their tenants in the rears?
Don't know. There are very few people that are involved in this. And Rochelle, what was the last count? 12?
Yeah. I think Monday there was 16, but I've had two or three people call in the last 2 days. So we're probably down to about 12 or 13.
Okay.
How many months?
Some go back as far as last February.
Yeah. I think we might want to make an effort to try to contact these owners.
That's a thought. I'm not sure we want to get involved in that. The owner understands that they're responsible for the bill, and if the owner doesn't want to include water, sewer in their rent, then they make a side deal and change their address. It's their responsibility to figure that out, because we send the notices out when they're past due. We're sending them out monthly. If the owner has chosen to try to do this runaround, or what I would call a runaround, in order to not collect an even amount every month from the renter for water, sewer, and want the renter to take that on separately, then that's at the owner's risk. That's not anything that involves water, sewer, the water, sewer district.
We'll eventually get our money.
Correct.
But no, there is there an interest rate on that, or no?
Not right now. We decided not to charge interest during this COVID.
Once the state emergency is lifted, then the board will be back in discussion about what to do with those accounts and arrears, and if we want to change or modify that interest rate. But as soon as the emergency is lifted, then those accounts are due, and it's up to the owner to then make arrangements to pay. Yes, Kurt?
Carolyn, I do believe, too, that when the state of emergency is lifted, I think we're going to see an increased demand on the customer assistance program funding. So that may be something that we have in the background to help us get through that initial shock as we prepare arrangements for those customers, so those owners.
Those owners, in order to qualify for our customer assistance program, would have to go through the CARE program at the county level, and therefore they would need to qualify based on their income. And if they have a rental, I strongly believe that they probably wouldn't qualify.
Yeah, a great deal of them wouldn't. You're right.
All right, I believe we started with questions about the fiscal year report. Are there any additional questions? Seeing none, we will move forward to item number 5, the manager's report. Kurt?
Still no change. Good news in regards to COVID-19 impacts on us. One thing I have started to follow the county, the Tillamook County Health Department website a little more closely. I've downloaded their agency interest form that identifies categories in which you can check yourself off. For us, it would be essential personnel, although the form doesn't yet include that box. So when it does, I definitely intend to submit our request for vaccinations, and I'll establish a list of employees that want vaccinated at that point. Otherwise, everything's status quo. We've had, over the last month, we would have one employee with some cold symptoms, but he was removed, he was isolated from staff for about 6 days and was completely recovered when he was back in the work environment. So we're doing very well.
Are you doing temperature checks on employees?
We have the capability. We just haven't had anyone with signs. And in retrospect, that would have been a good opportunity with that one employee. And he came in briefly one morning and immediately went home. Beyond that, unless the board has any other COVID questions, I'll cover some of the other items.
COVID? Now, when you guys are in the office, you guys wear amongst yourselves?
Yes.
Mask?
Yes. Although there are occasions, like when we're in our own work environments, we'll maintain 6 feet different distance or more. And we try to stay isolated. Michelle's still working from home primarily. Rochelle occasionally does. And and if I get to a point where I'm not feeling healthy, I'll do the same.
One COVID issue, Kirk, that I discovered in the last 2 days reading some of the Oregon Health Authority stuff is that these samplings that they're taking in the sewer around the state, not only are they looking for volume and identification, but they're also looking for the variants. And evidently they've identified 20 variants present already in the state of Oregon. So it just tells you how much things are changing with COVID constantly.
I have to say I'm surprised at how successful that study has become. It's grown popularity nationwide, and I think it's a viable way of analyzing a community's impacts. Unfortunately, I think we were just a little too small for them to want to provide that here in Pacific City. But if an opportunity arises, I would recommend we take advantage of that.
Would there be any possibility of COVID going out through into the river of our dumping of our water?
Not likely. Our wastewater treatment practices include disinfection through utilizing ultraviolet irradiation, so it would most certainly have an impact on any COVID that would pass through the plant. If no more questions on COVID, I'll briefly go over some of the items that were included. Tomorrow, the Special District Association 2021 Annual Conference is available online, which is nice. I think I'll be going in and out of the sessions tomorrow, but what I miss, I hope to catch it on a later date. I believe it's going to be available for us to view at our convenience for 3 months, is what Rochelle was telling me earlier, if I got that correct.
Yeah.
But Rochelle and I are both signed up for that. Board members are also welcome. Let's see. I did want to share with the board that we installed monitoring equipment at two of our remote facilities. One was the 300K pump station and reservoir site. The other was the Beachy lift station. And as an example of the alarms that we received this morning, we received power failure alarms from both locations. So it definitely will provide us good information as we move forward. At the 300K site, it was particularly efficient to install an extra pressure monitor there that can actually calculate our 600K reservoir levels from the pressure that we see at the 300K pump station. So we now can actually see, without driving out to the 600K site, how full or how low the reservoir is. We will also receive alarms if they get out of their normal parameters. But I'm excited about that. I do hope to add that gradually. There's about five more stations I'd like to add monitoring equipment on this year, which we budgeted for. And then we'll budget for the remainder of the sites, I believe, next year. Or at least I'll submit that for consideration. Other than that, I did want to go over the graph a little bit and show that our water produced was up from what it was a year ago. Looked more like it was in 2019. And our sales didn't go up that much. So as a result, we saw unaccounted for water jump up to about 18%. I'll keep a close eye on that to make sure it stays in check. Again, it seems to always come up. The more we run our wells, the more that unaccounted for water seems to jump up. Our wastewater influent flow, the second graph, is really important to look at because what we see there is we had an extraordinary amount of infiltration from a two-day storm event that occurred in January. It became real apparent there, and we believe we found at least one source we have already corrected, so we expect that to improve during future storm events, combined with king tides. And that's really, I've already talked about the unaccounted for water. I'm happy to answer any questions that the board might have regarding the manager's report.
I don't see any questions, Kirk.
Well, I must have bored everybody enough then.
All right, moving on. Item 6, unfinished business.
Manager's report. I completely lost visual contact on all of you. Oh, there's Carolyn. I can see Carolyn's face again. Everybody else is just blue screens with initials. Is that just happening for me?
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. I won't worry about it. Something in my computer or feed is going bad. Thank you.
Can you hear us, Anne?
I can hear you fine. I just can't see faces. Thanks.
You went out for a bit, but you're back.
All right. Item 6A, water and sanitation master plan update. Kirk?
Yeah. I wanted to report that our existing system has been defined pretty clearly in the master plan. Our water use has been captured historically. Our capital improvement plan has been laid out pretty clearly. The two remaining projects associated with the master plan are the seismic resiliency and the financing sources. And Parametrics is working diligently on those two items right now, and they assure me by mid-March they will have a complete master plan to us. And I recognize that it's a little behind schedule, but again, I want to make sure that we're getting a quality product from them. But for planning purposes, we took into account that we expect to have in hand the master plan by the second week of March.
Tom? We're going to go into the budget process when? May or April?
I'll start on it as early as now, but the budget committee will actually hold its first meeting in May, and that will be covered in the calendar that we're going to be discussing here shortly. But
Yeah, the budget committee will start being made aware of their responsibilities here in April.
The reason I ask is that I would assume that master plan, we need that in hand and be able to discuss it among ourselves and the budget committee once they start to meet, so they have some idea what the future looks like, correct?
You are absolutely right.
So lean on Parametrics a little. They've been assuring us that, oh, we'll have it done.
I know. I will do that. And on the bright side, at least as I prepare the draft budget, I am privy to having the list of CIP projects that they have put together and have prioritized. But again, it's going to require board input, and so it's going to be very important for the board and the budget committee to see the projects prior to the approval of the budget. On the water side, on the wastewater side, we may not have that luxury.
Thank you.
Any other questions? All right, moving on to the water meter installation contract. Kirk?
Yes. Well, we've currently received all 1,450 water meters. We've received 1,450 radios. We've also received all of the hangers that are needed to hang the radios in the meter boxes. We've also acquired about 20 additional traffic rated meter boxes in case we find areas where those need to be replaced as well. The only thing that we're currently waiting on are the lids, but we still have 750 non-traffic rated plastic lids, and we're assigning or we plan to assign a contractor books to replace water meters in an order where they can do those first, and then they'll move to areas where traffic rated lids are used later. I did get news today that our non-traffic rated lids have been shipped, some additional ones, and I think we're still a couple weeks out before we get any of our traffic rated, and they're really no longer plastic, they're called composite lids. They're very sturdy and strong. And I expect those within a couple weeks, though. And overall, the water meter installation is set to go. Everything is in place. We have all the tools that we need. We have all the equipment we need, minus some of the traffic rated lids. And we went out for bid. We got quotes. And we had two very good quotes. We had a contractor that didn't feel that they could perform all the work, so we didn't receive a quote from our local contractor. But our lowest bid came in at $42.31 per meter, with the higher bid coming in at $53. And so I've prepared a contract. I had our legal review. We've had NOAA review the contract, and I'm recommending that we go forward with the lowest bidder, the lowest contractor, who was Pleasant Hill Development.
All right, Cameron, you had a question?
Sure. When will we have a start date and a projected end date for that project?
That's a very good question. I have the contractor, Pleasant Hill Development. I had him review the contract that was prepared by us and reviewed by our attorney. He reviewed that. He's ready to go. He would like to start as early as tomorrow. But I did tell him that I did need board approval, but we're ready to move forward. Now, the contract specifically states that the project will not exceed $48,657, and that is because at that price, we were only able to have them install 1,150 water meters. So that's what we're going to rely on a contractor to install for us. I'm happy to answer any questions that the board might have.
Bob and then Ann.
What was the name of the contractor again?
Pleasant Hill Development out of the Sheridan area.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Ann?
So, Kirk, if I got that number written down correctly, you said the contract would be not to exceed $48,607?
$657, yes.
$657, okay. And that, I believe you suggested maybe just by your description of that, that that might not include all of the meters?
That would leave us with 300 meters that we would have to install ourselves. And we're prepared to do that as once we start reading meters through drive-by equipment, utilizing our drive-by equipment, that will free up staff time that meters could be installed.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense to me too, because it makes perfect sense to me for our staff to have actually installed some of those things, so that 2 years from now, when a tree falls on one in the middle of the night and it needs to be replaced, we don't have to call Pleasant Hill Development to come out and do it. So, thanks for that additional information.
Well, thanks for recognizing.
Does this action require a motion on behalf of the board, or is it a contract that Kirk can go ahead with?
I believe we're going to need a motion, and the title of the contract is the Automated Meter Reading Equipment Installation Contract with Pleasant Hill Development for not to exceed an amount of $48,567 for the installation of 1,150 meters. Is that correct?
Yeah. Let me grab my calculator. I may have inverted a number. 1 second. Well, let me look at the contract. Hold on. Yeah, the dollar amount not to exceed is
$48,657.
$157.
So I had one more. Oh, Sean.
Kirk, did Coastwave fit on?
No, they had hoped to have an additional employee to work on this, but they were short staffed and didn't feel that they could complete the project.
Okay, thanks.
So I had another question for you, Kirk, about the vetting process for Pleasant Hill Development. Obviously, that's somebody we've never worked with before, and I'm curious what process we went through to make sure that they were experienced and qualified and properly bonded and insured and all that business.
Yes, I've done all that vetting. I actually found them from a list of contractors that had provided formal bids for a larger contract for the city of Oak Lodge, and they were highly recommended by at least two other districts that I know of, and also the supplier of the water meters that we purchased. So I met with them personally. It was clear they had experience. They're capable of bringing as many as 8 employees out to install these meters quickly. They would like to get this done in the month of March. I mean, in the month of February, because they have a larger project to start in March. So ideally, what I like most about this, and the other bidder was in the same situation, but they can do them quickly. That means that we're going to benefit sooner, and it will free up our time more quickly.
And this is a contract that, Carolyn, you'd be signing as well as the authority manager?
Yes. And Kurt, before I can send an email back to approve it, I'm going to need a PDF copy rather than a Word copy.
Okay. Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt.
If there aren't any other questions, I'm prepared to make a motion.
I don't see any other questions, Ann.
Okay, and if I start the sentence, can you read that long thing that you read just a minute ago, and then I can finish the sentence? Because I didn't have time to write all of that. So I'm going to move that we approve the automatic meter reading
equipment installation contract
with Pleasant Hill Development for an amount not to exceed $48,657.
I'll second.
It has been moved and seconded that the board approve the automated meeting reader equipment installation contract with Pleasant Hill Development for an amount not to exceed $48,657. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion has been unanimously approved. Thank you. When I get that PDF file from you, then I'll get back an email to you for approval for signature stamp.
You'll get that first thing tomorrow morning, and I thank everyone for the approval of this project. It's going very well, and I'm very excited about it.
I am too, Kurt. Thank you.
All right, item 6C, update on billing and financial software upgrade.
Had a conversation, a brief meeting with Spring Group today. It is in engineering. The kickoff for the implementation is going to be in about 2 weeks. And the month of March, the data will be pulled from us and tested. We will go and run it parallel by the end of March, and by the end of, by April, we'll be running. It'll be finished, complete.
Wonderful, thank you.
Yeah, that sounds great, Michelle.
Yeah.
Deep breath.
Any questions? Seeing none, we'll move on forward to item 6D. We've left the in-person community meeting on our agenda. We discussed last time that it would probably be May before we're there. It depends on the progress with our master plans, because we want to have something significant to share and discuss with the community. Any other input on this item at this time? All right, we'll move on then to 6E, the budget committee vacancy. Kirk, do you want to update us?
Yes, I can report that I've sent out two applications. It appears we have two qualified candidates for the budget committee vacancy that we have.
So we posted that vacancy, and that posting goes through what date?
The posting was published in today's Headline Herald, I believe, and it will be posted through the month. I believe I explained in the posting that It will be considered at the next board meeting.
So that means that applications will be open until you send out the board packet for the March meeting, is that correct?
Let me verify that real quickly. Yes, I believe that that is the case. It was published as it has been in the past, identical.
Okay, so that vacancy then is open through the end of the day on February 25th, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Rochelle, did you have anything to add on that?
I believe it's February 26th, is what the ad says.
26th, did you say?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, item 7, new business. Number 1 there is the Tsunami area, assembly area, and Kirk, you received an email. Do you want to, and that email was in our packet, if you want to update us there?
Yes, I recently received a request to consider, let me just sort of describe it as it is on the agenda. The PC Tsunami Wayfinding Group, in conjunction with the South Tillamook Emergency Volunteer Corps, as a courtesy, has requested that we provide comments on a tsunami assembly area that was located, or that is would be located, near the 300K reservoir site. I went out to that site, and I recognized that it was a small compound, and I've also taken into consideration some of our emergency response requirements, and I personally don't think it would be good to have a gathering area extremely close to our reservoir site. I would recommend that it be moved at least a couple of blocks away from our reservoir site. Cameron, do you have a question?
Yeah, well, a comment. The fire department also has a staging area for their equipment up in that area too. Are you aware of that?
I did not look at that part. I was looking at it primarily as to how it would impact the security and reliability of our water system. But I did talk to Mr. Chris Dennis about this, and I think he had some really good ideas. We shared some ideas, and I think he certainly took my concerns about it being located very close to our reservoir site, and I think they understand that there's a disadvantage. There could be congestion that could prevent us from getting to our facility. That was really my primary concern. But I also recognize that in the event of a tsunami disaster, there could be a need for some water for the people that are stuck in an area located in that area, in this case, Pacific City Heights. So I'm not opposed to having an assembly area, several blocks away or even a couple of blocks away from our site. I just don't think that should be the center of attention.
Right. You might want to check with the chief if you were there, because I know there's a staging area for all their equipment so they can get it out of the tsunami zone up there on Pacific City Heights.
And I will be meeting with Mr. Dennis about this so that we can discuss it. I'll certainly bring that to his attention. I'm sure they've taken that into consideration. Can everybody see me? Because I lost a lot of pictures, a lot of video.
I can't see anybody. I can just see initials. So
I can see you.
Okay. Me too.
Yep.
Okay. I'm with you, Ann. You're the only one I can see. But I can hear everybody, so I'll continue. One of the things, though, that through my visit to the site to see how this assembly area would work for the Water Authority made me realize that in the event of a tsunami or a major earthquake, we may not have employees in that region, and we may not be able to reach those facilities. So I would like to work with a volunteer or someone within that community that could perhaps practice or even participate in some exercises with us to perhaps communicate to us if possible in the event of an emergency, and assist us in the event of an emergency if we needed someone to close a valve or open a valve while we were up there. I think there's some things that we could really work with our community to make sure that we're optimizing our facilities to the best we can during those kind of events. So I look forward to working with the committee or the group that is planning the tsunami assembly areas to make sure that we have a voice in how our facilities are viewed and even operated during that type of event. So those were my comments. And Chris did have a question in regards to some areas between the 300K and the 600K, wanting to verify that if we own any property there where they could store equipment, they would be interested in that. But as far as I could tell, the PCJWSA doesn't own any property between those two sites that would even be close to capable of handling storage facilities. So unless someone else is aware of some property owned by PCJ up between the 300K and the 600K, I'm not aware of any.
Okay, comments, Ann? You had your hand up a bit ago.
I did, and I just want to acknowledge that I'm guessing everybody would agree. I really applaud the effort that is being put into this, and I've heard various people from their committee speak at various meetings, and if there is a serious need for this an emergency plan to be clearly articulated, and for it to be user-friendly, and so I completely support the effort. So I agree completely with you, Kirk. In fact, that was my very first thought, is I don't think it serves the public interest at all for us to purposely plan to cause congestion at a major part of our local infrastructure. And that just makes no sense to me, because Cameron brought up the fire department. You know, what if they need water in a tanker truck to do something? Who knows? We need to have access to those water reservoirs to support other emergency personnel around the area, too. I would be very concerned before I made a public offer of coordination with a citizen that lives in that area to handle equipment or be on the property. Because of our obligation to the greater public and also for liability and safety reasons and that kind of thing, I think we need to assure that in our emergency plan we have radio communications that don't depend on the internet. I know quite a while ago we had some talk, and I don't know if we ever pursued it or if we already have it, of having the ham operators in the area be really an instrumental part in communication, and that PCJWSA would be participating in that effort. So So I don't know if that has happened or if it's in place or could be part of the conversation going forward. The other thing I've heard in meetings where I've heard people talk about this is that signage is a major part of the effort to move people to the appropriate place to get out of danger. And Nest One, I think, is almost finished with their wayfinding project, which is focused on primarily on emergency planning, I believe. And Pacific Cities is just getting underway or a third of the way underway or something. So I know there's an active effort in that area too. And one of the things that's been emphasized in those discussions is that signage is critical, not just for our local residents, who, if you said go to Topping Street, a lot of them would know where that was. A lot wouldn't too, but our visitors that are staying in our short-term rentals or hotels or walking on the beach with their dog are going to have absolutely no idea where Topping Street is if they happen to read it on a map. So the signage is going to be really critical in all of this. So I'd be very supportive of Mr. Dennis's and the group's efforts, but I don't see us being directly involved in terms of having a staging area around our infrastructure.
And there's one thing I can add to your statements, Ann, and that was you asked about the radios. You're correct. We did conduct a radio testing survey to verify that the types of radios that are used in South Tillamook County will work for us. So I've worked closely with the South Tillamook Emergency Volunteer Corps. So I hope to move forward with that in the future. Of course, I'll bring that to the board's attention when we're ready to do that. I would expect it's still a couple months out. But at some point, I agree, radio communication, particularly in remote areas like that, will be extremely valuable during a major disaster. So we want to move forward in that direction. And I do hope to work with the Tsunami Wayfinding Group as they develop their strategy. I appreciate the fact that they wanted our voice to be heard in their discussions.
I'm assuming that, Kirk, and maybe you know this from your conversations with him, I'm assuming that one of their goals is to create kind of a master plan for the area. Signage would be part of that, communications is another part of it, staging areas is another part of it. But do you get that sense, or are they more inclined to work on pieces of it and get the pieces organized?
No, I think you described, that was the impression I had, is they're looking at the master plan component. They're looking at everything that they feel they need to do to respond and be prepared.
And back to Cameron's comment, I think the fire department's been very actively involved in those discussions along the way. I'm sure of that. Just from talking to Jim.
You know, we're in such a unique area. We have one part of Pacific City is on the west side of the river, and then we've got another part that is on the east side, and then another part of a small community in woods of our surface area. And how do you protect or serve it? All three areas in the tsunami or whatever there is to be. I mean, is there a plan to have kind of equipment in three different places?
Do you mean within PCJWSA, Cameron?
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah. There currently we have a plan to relocate equipment if we need to. We also have our Horn Creek facility we've utilized in that manner. So there's more we can do. And I think this is just the beginning for us to start establishing an updated emergency response plan when it comes to disasters such as tsunamis. And even though we've had plans in the past, I think we can always improve upon them.
Well, it wouldn't be any different as a tsunami or a fire, you know, or flood or any type of, you know, emergency, you know, for our community. So.
Well, and yeah, I did update the emergency response plan about 5 or 6 months ago, and we've since experienced some fires and emergencies that made me recognize the pandemic plan was a major component that was left out of that. There's quite a few things that it's a living document, and it's something that I think we can continually work towards. I'll be periodically updating the board on progress we make in those areas.
Kirk, I might add
one other. Oh,
go ahead, Ann.
I have one other thing, which is a piece of good news that I heard as I listened in to the Chamber of Commerce meeting today. Our state representative Gomberg was talking about. I think I mentioned at the last meeting that there was a proposal in Salem to dismantle DOGAMI, which I looked up and it stands for Department of Geology and Mineral Industries. But DOGAMI is the group that brings together all the science around earthquakes and tsunamis, that provides the data and the notification times and the intensities and all that sort of stuff. And it's critically important to our preparedness along the Oregon coast. So the suggestion that DOGAMI was going to get broken up and parts of it shoved into closets in different departments all around the state, a lot of people sort of felt in Salem felt as though that most of what DOGAMI did would hardly see the light of day because of the lack of coordination. Well, Representative Gomberg said today that that there had been budget concerns in the management of DOGAMI, and it had been proposed to break them up. But just yesterday, the budget subcommittee that's dealing with the state's budget announced that they would not be pursuing that proposal. So DOGAMI is not going to be broken up into pieces. It's going to stay the way it is, a relief to county level and city level and the entire coast. So I thought I would share with that news with you too.
Thank you. Cameron, did you have something to add?
Yeah, I do. I think that'd be a huge mistake if they did that, because really the benefit is these small rural areas that do get the benefit, because if there is an emergency, we're not going to get any help from Portland or Salem or wherever. We're going to have to take care of ourselves within before any, you know, notification or any of that way. That'd be a sad day if that got broken up, you know?
Yeah, I think a lot of people agreed with that. So I know our county commissioners wrote a strong letter to the governor about that, but apparently we've dodged that bullet for now.
If anything comes up, please let me know. I'd sure like to get involved to make sure that that doesn't go away. I could be involved.
Kirk, I was just going to add one thing to your comments. When we were all talking about the radio contact, Chris Dennis is part of the radio group with the fire district that's working with the emergency corps. And I know that he just finished this fall his ham license, even though he doesn't have a radio, but he does have the other radio. So in terms of working with somebody, he might be a good contact.
That would be great.
I know of two people.
Cameron?
I know of two people in the area that are ham operators. One is Dave Watkins, and another one is Mr. Bailey in Calderdale, Mike Bailey. And they both have radios and everything. And they are operators and are licensed.
Right. We also have Mr. Geo that lives up on north end of Cape Kiwanda Drive beyond Pine. Any other comments about the tsunami? Yes, Kirk?
This isn't about the tsunami. I was just going to tell Ann, if you still don't see faces, if you change your gallery view to speaker view or something, that fixed mine.
All right, item 7.2, the upcoming board calendar. Kirk and I put this together just to kind of give you an idea of what's up for us in the spring, identifying some potential workshops and our meetings. Is there any suggestions to this at this point, or any questions about it? Yes, Tom?
May 5th, you had AM review. Is that talking about the auto metering?
No, that's authority manager.
Oh.
Got an annual review coming up.
Thank you.
Yep. Any other questions? Yes, Don?
I would just note that you know, the master plan workshop, those dates on there, I think it's really crucial that the board gets at least a week to review that document before we have a workshop on it.
Yeah, 4 days isn't enough.
Yeah, it's not.
All right, then we'll strike the 16th and we'll shoot for the 23rd. Does the board still want to do the first workshop ourselves and go through it before we meet with somebody else that might help us with priorities?
I think our time would be more efficiently spent. I think we'd do a lot of spinning of wheels if we did it without the added expertise, personally. I think if we have adequate time to read it and we all do that homework very carefully, that we would be prepared to go into a workshop that's led by, as we talked about, Rob Mills. And I don't see the calendar. Where was the calendar?
That's my question.
I got an email that came this afternoon.
Oh.
Sorry about that. Yeah, I didn't have time to put it together with the board packet.
Oh, there it is. Thank you. Yeah, I think we would be more efficient to have our discussion, because when we had Rob with the other discussions that we had, he had a good grasp of what it was we needed to accomplish. He kept the conversation moving. He kept us efficient without rushing us. I don't think any of us expressed any concern with the way those meetings went. I personally thought they were a lot more productive.
Yes, Sean?
I guess I would ask the question, what are we expecting of Rob Mills? I mean, is it helping us figure out how to implement it? I mean, I guess in my mind, if there are specific questions or thoughts or concerns regarding the master plan, is Rob Mills gonna help us work through those? I guess I'm unclear as to what his role would be in a potential workshop.
What I've seen him do in our past workshops is to very respectfully take our comments and draw them back to the issue at hand, because we have a tendency, and we don't want to step on each other, but we have a tendency to go off on tangents in our conversations, and I think that's why I say I think he makes our conversations more efficient so that we don't spend 3 hours getting to the point when we can spend an hour and a half. And I'm not talking about shortchanging the conversation at all, but I think his guidance in the way he conducts the meeting helps us avoid those wild excursions off the subject, and keeps us centered, keeps the conversation centered, and I think that's valuable and well worth the time and money.
Speaking of money, it isn't a fee that we would pay at this point. It's provided to us via SBAO.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Even better.
And I thought he...
Cameron?
Oh.
I'm sorry. Go ahead, Kirk.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to interrupt, but I thought he had some recent experience with capital improvement program or...
Yes, Rob.
Planning.
Yes, he sits on the Seattle. What is that water district that's to the south? The Seal Rock Water District, and they had help come in, and a couple of years ago, and help them figure out how to prioritize things, because in a master plan, the engineers put things out in a logical way that doesn't always to implement that. Their logic in terms of a time sequencing doesn't always meet the needs of the community in terms of financing or the priorities that the board thinks are most important. And so when boards make those decisions, if you follow a process or a structure, often you get, like Ann said, to the end much quicker and much clearly than if it's a just a general discussion about what I versus you think or what we think individually is needed for the community. Cameron or Tom, did you want to comment on this?
Now you say SBAO pays for as part of our agreement with them or service?
As a member of SBAO, our organization has X number of hours of consulting from the association per year.
So I think.
And for many years, we didn't use any.
So I think that'd be awesome if we've got somebody that can keep us not jumping off the side or whatever. And sure, when we're already paying for it anyway.
What about this kind of process with the master plans? That we expect to have the master plans on the 12th of March, and the board should have them that same day. We will have the water master plan. We may not have the sanitary master plan because of the data that's still being collected. If board members would read and review that and call Kirk with individual questions, and then any questions that Kirk can't answer, we're going to assume maybe that other board members also have. Maybe the first half hour we could bring the engineer into the conversation to answer those questions, and we could all hear the responses. And then after that first half hour, go into our discussion with Rob Mills as part of it to figure out where we're headed, so that we as individual board members have read and prepared it prior to that, had our questions, gotten our questions for the most part answered about individual projects, which leaves then prioritization, funding, and clarification of terms and conditions such as population or projections for our major discussion as opposed to definition of individual projects. Does that seem like a good use of our time overall? Okay, why don't we start that direction, if we aren't through at the end of a two-hour workshop, then we'll figure out at that point where we need to go. But I think that we may have gotten to where we need to be. And we'll get, Kurt and I'll work together to get that set up. Thank you. Anything else?
I think a lot of the success of that process depends on each of us individually doing an extremely careful reading of this document when it comes out. And then as you said, communicating with Kirk, because we need to understand what these items are, what their significance is, what kind of equipment might be involved, whatever. Whatever our questions are about the technical parts of it, I think we can address those with Kirk and get a good answer, so that we don't spend time in the meeting, in the workshop, going over that level of detail.
Okay, anything else about the calendar, projected calendar? This gets to be a busy time of year, and we certainly, now that we've got a strategic plan in place and we've got a process for evaluating the authority manager in place, hopefully it'll be streamlined much more than it has in past years. We're getting good at this. All right, moving forward then to item 8. Any guest questions that you received, sir, or comments?
None tonight.
All right. Next item, director comments. Yes, Tom?
I just have a couple of things and just a heads up for the community. The Dory Association has some scholarships that they're going to offer to our kids, and they have $1,000 scholarships and possibly another one that they're working on. So there's more than likely going to be 4 scholarships available, as well as the Tillamook County Soil and Water Conservation District. They have 3 $1,500 scholarships. So if you know any deserving young people in our community, let me know, and I can, you know, help follow up on this.
Great. And is that for any type of education after college, or is it only for a 4-year?
Pretty much anything, either of them. It's for any university, junior college, college or trade school working toward an associate, bachelor, graduate degree or trade certification, and that's for Tillamook County Soil and Water Conservation. The Dory Associations, a couple of these are from the Stucca High School. One's an open, and I'm not sure about the fourth one yet, but there's a Smith Family Foundation that offers one of those $1,000. But the one application, $1,000 application, or excuse me, scholarship, can be anybody that's any person that's associated with the Dory Association. So if you got an uncle, you got a member, it's a next door neighbor, you know, that kind of thing. So they can be anywhere in the state if they'd like to apply for that. They don't have to be a resident of Tillamook County, that particular scholarship.
All right, thank you. Any other director comments? Hearing none, it is 6:17, and I will adjourn the meeting. Thank you all so much.